Chapter 8. The Messenger. Kalin, we have witnessed the end of the mutant race. No longer will the Shadowmen walk in the Forgotten Forest. After a long, bitter war, Sapato and his warriors were finally able to rest. Perhaps one day we will pay another visit to the Forgotten Forest, but not today. I hope you've enjoyed the stories told at this gathering. As today is our last full day in the treehouse, we only have time for one more story. Are you ready? Great. Our next story is about a messenger known as Nicholas. On with the story. Swifter than a bolt of lightning, I penetrated the dark world of Lord Reason. A light-bearer was waiting for the message that I had to deliver to him from the king. At first, as always, I studied my surroundings before I approached the servant, who had been praying for some time now. The degree of darkness around me gave me fair warning that this assignment would require the use of my sword before the message was delivered. The hideous creature did not see my sword until it had been sliced halfway through his body. With a loud squeal, the henchman fell to the ground and dissolved into a black mist, and then he was gone. I barely had time to reposition my sword before I had to thrust it into his evil companion. Their numbers were greater than I had seen in some time, which was an indication that the light-bearer was effective in setting the captives free from the grip of Lord Reezing. Knowing this gave strength to my arms. My sword quickly eliminated one henchman after another. Tirelessly, I fought against an seemingly endless number of these disgusting creatures that were blocking my way. Just when I was about to call for assistance from fellow messengers, the remaining henchmen took flight. They perhaps thought it best to run away from the wrath of my sword while they had a chance to do so. Cautiously, I surveyed the surrounding area. My hands maintained a firm grip on my battle-worn sword until I was certain that all was clear. Having driven the demonic forces away, I would have but a few moments to carry out my assignment before they returned. The henchmen that retreated had not gone long. The henchmen that had retreated would not be gone long. They would overcome their fear of my sword as soon as their ranks grew in number, as other henchmen came to their aid. I must move quickly. At once, I was at the light-bearer's side. His protector and I stood on either side of him. We raised our swords overhead and expanded our massive wings to create a cocoon effect for the praying light-bearer. Our presence was immediately felt by the light-bearer. This protected area, this holy ground, allowed the spirit of the light-bearer to be free from the constraints of his flesh and the threat of the darkness of Lord Reason. This freedom was needed in order for him to clearly hear the message I had brought. Once my message was delivered, my task was completed, so I left as quickly as I arrived. Kalin, I am a messenger for the king. In your world, I am known by the name Nicholas. My name means victory of the people, or power of the people. As you get to know me, and my particular role in serving the king's light-bearers, you will agree that I have been given a most fitting name. When light-bearers grow in their relationship with the king's family, they usually become somewhat, how can I say this, what is the human expression I'm looking for? Oh yes, they become out of step with most other humans. They are different because they are no longer enslaved by the darkness of this world or cultural law. Their minds have been renewed by the spirit as well as the king's war manual. Most humans live out their lives under the darkness of Lord Reason. Although they do not know it, they are prisoners in their dark world, blind and dumb, all in one. They live in darkness. They see and believe only what he wants them to. Their wisdom is but the lies they have been fed. Without the help of a light-bearer, they will die in the darkness in which they lived. Light bearers, who keep their flames bright, walk more in the ways of the king than in the ways that are familiar to humans. Light bearers and their collaborator are either, excuse me, light bearers of this caliber are either warriors or worshippers. Often, in their service to the king or in dealing with the challenges of life in Lord Reason's world, from time to time, they require specific instructions from the king. Due to the darkness that reigns in the land of Adma, special messengers are sent to deliver these instructions from the king. When I deliver a messenger to Lightbearer, he or she experiences a revelation. Upon receiving this revelation, the Lightbearer will either be endowed with special power in his or her area of gifting and calling, which equates to a greater power in their light, or they will gain understanding that will be used to advance the light into dark places, or they will receive a wonderful peace and comfort, a time all three may be experienced. After I deliver a messenger, it is only a breath of time before I am out of the darkness that enslaves the earth and back in the king's land. In the king's land, which includes all territory outside of the earth, things are very, very different from what a human experiences during their lifetime in the land of Adama. It is so different that it is extremely difficult to make a comparison. Nonetheless, I will try. Now, Kalen, look down at your arm. It runs from your shoulder down to the tips of your fingers. The distance that you can reach is determined by the length of your arm. Stretch out your arm as far as you can. Bending forward only helps a little. As you grow physically, you will be able to reach a little further, as your arms will be longer. Once you reach adulthood, however, your arms will no longer grow. On Earth, your reach is finite, restricted by your physical limitations. In the land of the king, as I said, things are very different. Since we, the protectors and messengers, do not have bodies like humans, we do not have the limitations of a physical body. Instead of just reaching out my arm to touch something, I simply think of reaching out and then my entire spiritual being moves to that place. I'm not bound by the length of my arm or the distance of my stride when I walk. I am not a physical being. Therefore, I do not have the limitations defined by muscle and bone. The other major difference is that in the king's land, there are no clocks. There is no real concept of time. This is why it is so very important for humans to have a relationship with Prince Sai. You see, at an appointed earthly time, all humans will eventually be released from their physical bodies. It is what humans call death. It occurs when a human reaches the bridge at the end of their physical life. At that moment they reach the bridge, time for them will cease. The human will spend eternity, a place without time, either in the king's land or in a horrible place that was created for Lord Reason and his henchmen. Only the most foolish of enslaved humans say that they do not care about what will happen when they reach this bridge. As light bearers break free from the influence of the darkness, and as the light in them grows, their humanness decreases. As a result, they live in a greater awareness of the king's activities and their specific jobs in setting the captives free. Since they are still living in their human bodies, they have certain inherent limitations and weaknesses. Even with the king's war manual, the light of the king, and access to his throne and spirit, at times they need revelation, a special message from the king. Since Lightbearers do not yet live in the king's land, they sometimes feel isolated and alone. At other times, they are not sure as what to do or what they need to do in a given situation. It is during these times that the king sends a messenger with a revelation. The king's voice is perfectly clear. The king's voice is perfectly clear to me. A lightbearer named Alan is being challenged by the darkness. Go to his aid with this message. She will live. The Messages are usually only a few precise words. That is all that is needed. Even though the land of Adamah is large to you, in fact, the circumference of the earth is about 24,901 miles. By the way, if you measure the land of Adamah through the poles, the circumference is a bit shorter, about 24,859,000 miles. Kalen, the earth is a tad wider than it is tall, giving it a slight bulge at the equator. This shape is known as ellipsoid. As soon as I receive a message from the king, I am immediately thrust into the earth's lower atmosphere. Once in the realm of the earth, messengers become somewhat aware of the element of time. Although we are not subject to it, we do notice how humans interact with and live by time. Depending on the situation, sometimes the demonic battles begins miles above the earth. The henchmen are more of an inconvenience than a real threat to me. Yet, they cost precious time for the light bearer. Sometimes, a messenger will spend 3 human weeks battling the enemy before actually reaching the light bearer. In this particular case, it took 10 human days to reach Alan. Alan is a light bearer. He had received some very difficult news, which caused him to stumble. Alan was told that his wife, Ellen, had a terrible disease. The non-lightbearer doctors said that she only had a few weeks to live. Alan simply reacted, as in the case with most humans. He became confused and even angry. This action on his part allowed the darkness to block out a portion of his light. Immediately upon reaching Alan, I am greeted by his protector. Standing next to Alan, I can sense the damage that the news had had on his life. His light was burning more dimly than it ever had before. Yet, in spite of this weakened condition, he remained in prayer as he openly conversed with his Heavenly Father about the condition of his wife. Being here and seeing this situation made the short message I have for him make so much sense, and how urgently he needed to hear it. His protector and I raise our swords overhead and spread our wings immediately. Alan feels our presence. He is overcome by the experience and drops to his knees as tears freely flow. With great throbs of weeping, he releases the pain that was pent up in his heart. His weeping continues as he lowers himself from his knees to a prostrate position. Eventually, Alan's pain and disappointment are filled with the love of the king. His light is fully restored. He again moves to a kneeling position. With outstretched arms towards heaven, he begins to sing a new song given to him from the spirit of the king. With his protector in me, this is a most wonderful sight to behold. Although we continually interact with humans, there is so much we do not understand. Like now, we witness a light bearer who has endured so much and faced what seemed to be insurmountable challenges. Yet, in the midst of this storm, he raised his arms and praises the King of Kings. This experience moves us greatly. Other messengers and protectors arrive as Alan's friends come alongside him. A chorus of reverent worship is lifted to him. For a short time, it is as if we are no longer earthbound, but in the king's land. At the appointed time, I give my message to Alan. She will live. To reinforce this word, I repeat it several times. As I looked into his eyes, there is a knowing that Alan has not only heard, but has received the king's message into his heart. As a small group of light bearers continued to worship, a woman with a frail body walks into the room. She moves in close to Alan and grabs his right hand. He looks up to see his wife, Ellen. As their eyes meet, he mouths the words that he had just received. "You will live." Unable to contain her joy, she shouts, "I too have had a visitor. a messenger. He told me to come here to confirm what you have just told me. As the others hear what the Lord of Hosts has said to Alan and Ellen, they all in unison lift their voices in a hallelujah chorus. Praise him who sits on the throne. Praise his mighty name. All glory, all praise belongs to you. This spontaneous praise continues into the wee hours of the next morning. Kaylin, a few days later, Ellen receives the results of additional medical tests. The tests confirm that the cancer is gone. Her non-light-bearer doctors shake their heads in utter amazement as Alan and Ellen recount the events of the last few days. Well, here we are at the end of another story. The sun is hanging low in the western sky. A soft breeze dances through the tops of the tree. The birds sing as the evening shadows stretch out their long fingers. Tonight is our last night here in the treehouse. Although we are at the end of this gathering, there is a sense of fullness and completeness. For some, this gathering marks the end of their journey through the land of Adamom. They have finally reached the long sought after bridge that leads into the king's land. There's little I can do to erase the broad smile from my face. To be here and to have experienced this particular gather confirms I am truly a rich man. I reach over to hold Jean's small, soft hand. The gold and silver that lines our well-worn trousers is not of the perishable kind, no. You would not want to use this gold and silver to make a piece of jewelry. It is a kind of gold and silver that is minted in the king's throne. It bears the names of those who have been set free from the dungeon of darkness of Lord Reason. It is forged by those who become light-bearer warriors and worshipers. Kaylin, I have enjoyed this special time with you. Would you fetch Grandmommy me a fresh cup of coffee? We may stay up a while before turning in tonight. Good night, Buttercup Girl. End of chapter 8 and the end of the reading of the Treehouse Stories. I trust you have enjoyed it, and may the King of Kings bless you and keep you in the days ahead.